D1, number 24B.
They're for the higher. We reach in consciousness, or better, the broader we open consciousness to let the impulsion of the life come in. And the more we adore the love that always cares for everything is taken in, the more I mean. So this relieves me of the responsibility to demonstrate men, life and love demonstrate men. They demonstrate the true patient. And the true patient they know is the ever flow of life providing, sustaining, supporting its own creation. It's the ever flow of love, caring, protecting, encircling, loving its own creation. And my thought is taken away from having to be men. Then, as I begin to see that, then I see, well, therefore, this has nothing to do with achieving anything, that I'm freed from the responsibility to attain anything. Everything is now. And then I touch the science of absolute Christian science. Then I see that all there is ever to be demonstrated is already there. Therefore, all that has ever to be demonstrated was before Abraham was, so the time concept is of no concept, and therefore there we have no term for the time concept, life. There all is fact, truth, facts that are always already complete, love. There I begin to see the true health, the true form of health, as forever complete truth and love. There I begin to realize that whatever I would have to accomplish humanly is already established in the absolute as a fact that is complete and fulfilled. What the comfort that is! What a comfort that whatever we do, whatever we have to work out on the plane of Christian science, whatever we have to work out humanly, if we rise our head above into the facts of being, into absolute Christian science, we see that what is going to happen tomorrow and in 10 years is already now established, because it's a truth in being. And that truth is not to be completed. It is complete and fulfilled. And so I feel whatever I have to work out, be it in the sense of sickness or progress or of going forward, of achieving something, is all a human time concept which, when viewed rightly, I can sit back and thank God from all my heart that facts never come nor go, that facts never went nor have to be brought back. They are. And the time concept is just out of it. That's the overcoming of time, the most important problem of the day. Not the war in Vietnam is important. Not the war between the Russians and the Americans, between capitalism and communism, is very important. The highest, biggest concept which the world is facing today is to overcome the concept of time. And you can see now why. Because when we take the concept of time away, we just have truth and love. We just see that all that there is, all that is true, is factual. Doesn't have to work out through war, through crisis, through struggles, through I don't know what, through centuries and so on. Then I begin to feel that from God's point of view, the solution is a fact, love and truth. And so individually, we like to work from that standpoint, that whatever the duty is, whatever we have to do humanly, whatever our job is, our duties is, whatever comes tomorrow and the next month and next year, which we can't foresee is coming, let's see, it's already done. It's already a fact, because we can never work out something which is not yet already a fact, because we can't produce or create something which is true. Therefore, there, in that state of science, in absolute Christian science, the term life doesn't appear. And this is the most comforting point. Then, as we realize that, the time will come. Now I speak in the future. The time will come, I guess, that as we get familiar, acquainted, warm with the level of absolute Christian science, that something in us pushes further and says, but you know, old boy, in divine science there is only one life. What are you trying to work out your life? In the one life of divine science, I come now to divine science, in the one life in divine science, I begin to realize that if God is life, or if being is being, then it is being. Then it isn't beings. And if it's being, it's one being. And in that one being, there is just one being. And the one being knows itself just as one being. And so this relieves me at once of the lingering belief, which I still may have, that I have to live God. Then the one life lives the one life, and that's the only life. And there is no other life or existence. It's the one I am being. And in that one I am being, there is just one fact, namely that being is the one and only truth. It's truth itself. It's not the truth about something. It's not the truth about me, not the truth about any situation, not the truth about this or that. It's truth as such. And what do we want more than truth as such? It's only a matter of consciousness that we arise to that point that we see, oh, there is just truth, just the self-admittance, self-realization, self-consciousness of the one truth, the self-affirmation of truth. Truth establishing itself, knowing itself as established, knowing itself but as truth. And that truth is the truth about the whole world. And I touch Christianity, the one love, the one world, the all in all of being. There I begin to see that reality, being, is one reality, one world. And in that one world, I have not many people. In that one world, there is not the loves of one to the others. There is just love. There is not even the realization of love. There is not even loving God and loving men. Because if God would not be love himself, we couldn't love. But here on that plane of divine signs, we just realize that there is only one love, namely God's love. Not God's love and man's love and man's love to other men and man's love to God and God's love to men. There's just love. Just seeing that there is one all-embracing universe. Which brings us at once to the question, but is that universe a static universe? Or is it a dynamic universe? And I touch the science of divine science. Divine principle, love. Where I begin to realize that this being is a principled being. Namely, a being in infinite operation, a being which is constantly, dynamically on the move. On the move for what? And this is the high spot, namely to see that principle in its infinite operation is not a blind principle, as it is in other sciences. All other sciences, physics, chemistry, atom physics especially, they are all blind. They have a principle, but with blindness. They have not a plan of fulfillment. Let alone to its principle, it's a self-destructive principle. Whereas in divine science, we begin to realize that that principle must be love. That principle has within itself always a dynamic which is purposeful, which has a self-glorification within itself, and never a self-destruction and a self-annihilation within itself. That's why it is principle love. And to my sense, I feel that if we get that tone right, then somehow we can already now touch the practice on that level of divine science. Why? You see, divine science, this is what it says, in divine science, God is one and all. One and all, has nothing beyond himself, outside of itself, is one and all, governing not man and the universe, governing himself, she says. And by governing himself, he governs the universe, because it translates itself to the plane of absolute Christian science. But the most important thing is to see, really, in divine science, that consciousness must have that infinite circle of going out from the One, staying in the One, and returning to the One, never leaving the oneness of thought. And if we see that that principle, which is love, love is the all-encircling, bringing it back always to itself, but seeing it as a principle, and principle always stands as a synonymous term for all, synonymous terms, because principle includes them all. I like to treat a situation from that standpoint. How? I elaborate, and like to elaborate on that point, by seeing that this principle is a never-operative principle, as the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. but on the plane of divine science, always within the rhythmic round of its own principle, so that it encircles always itself. What does it mean? And you can think about it for the next few months, and you will feel a tremendous help and peace and strength and assurance in it. When we begin to see that I can, instead of putting principle, the seven synonymous terms, then I can see, all right, all what's going on in the one being is really that mind manifests itself as the word out of itself. Mind doesn't manifest itself out of my thinking because I think about it. It manifests itself out of itself. And as the Christ, that mind manifests itself through itself and not through my human will. That mind is not empowered, enacted, operated through my thinking, my will, my desire. But mind says, I am my own Christ. I manifest myself only through myself, nothing else. And at that point, we see that mind manifests itself always as itself, not as ideas. Because you know, when we are on the level of divine science, the symbols are only the synonymous terms, no more ideas. So we begin to realize that mind manifests itself always as the whole of mind. And therefore I begin to see that mind manifests itself as itself, as mind, and never as human thinking, as the human brain, as my intellect, as my logic. It always manifests itself as mind, not as my thinking. And it has only one purpose in that operation, namely that mind manifests itself to itself, never for any ulterior purpose. Because it's love, it brings it back to itself. So that which I see in my treatment of a case, I know that treatment is not going to bring out anything which pleases me, but something which pleases God, which glorifies God. Then I see that I have really to give up all human conceptions, because mind cannot demonstrate anything but mind, never my human desires. So you can take every synonymous term and see, and you just try that and see what an enormous peace, assurance, certainty, rest, bigness, and unselfishness it conveys when one sees that spirit unfolds itself out of itself. Spirit unfolds itself out of itself. It never unfolds because I separate ideas from illusion. It comes always out of itself. Spirit is the origin of unfoldment. I can see, all right, the nature of being is spirit. The spirit is unfoldment. And spirit, therefore, unfolds itself out of its own loins, out of itself. And it always unfolds through itself, through the whole of spirit. Not through any help or human birth or any growth or anything. It always unfolds through its own nature, and on account of its own nature, through spirit. And it always unfolds what? Never anything else but spirit. it therefore unfolds as itself, as the whole of spirit, and always to itself. Spirit always unfolds being just for the glorification of Spirit God. It never unfolds that I have a bigger business or a bigger income or a bigger this or a bigger that. The purpose of being is to glorify itself, whatever then the material manifestation may be. That's not our business. That are the signs that come with it automatically. But the main thing is that in consciousness we stick to that high level. And so you can think it over in regard to soul and see that soul identifies itself out of itself. I don't have to name it rightly and identify things rightly. At that stage of divine science, I can see that soul identifies itself. And by golly, if we let it do, it really does. But it really does through itself, without my doing it. And it certainly does identifying it as itself and not as I like to identify it. And it certainly identifies it for the glory of itself and certainly not for my glory. And so I can see in principle that principle operates out of itself. I don't have to make principle work, to use it, to apply it. It operates out of itself. And it operates through itself, through the whole of principle. Not just through a little bit of principle. The whole of principle is always right there in operation and never leaves a little detail out of it. And it operates as itself. The manifestation is principle again, and not just a little bit of principle or a little bit of a better human doctrine or so. But the main thing is that it operates as itself and for the glory of itself, to itself, and never for the glory of people or person. So just ponder that, you know, always the same thing. Life individualizing itself. How? Out of itself. Let it happen. Let the life happen. Then life is individualizing itself out of itself. And let it happen because it does it through itself, not through our endeavors. And it individualizes itself always, not as my life, not as your life, but always as life, God. That's how it individualizes itself. As life, who is God. It never drops one inch below the whole. Because here we are in the oneness of being. And so it individualizes itself for the glory of itself, not for the glory of man and for us. Or you can take truth and see in truth, for instance, that truth demonstrates itself. How? Because truth demonstrates itself out of itself, not out of our consciousness, not out of our giving a treatment. Truth says, I am truth, I don't need anything else. There is nothing beyond myself, I am the one and the all. So truth says, I demonstrate myself out of myself with any foreign help. And I demonstrate myself through myself. I don't need anybody to help me. And I demonstrate myself as what? As what I am, namely as truth itself. And for what? To say, I'm truth. To the glory of truth. Not to the glory of man. And so love, you can take any idea of love and see love glorifies itself. It says, I'm love. All I want to do is to glorify the Father. Whatever happens, it's for the glory of God. So love says, I glorify myself right out of myself. I have the whole well of glory within me, and out of my love I glorify myself. And the way I do is through the Christ, namely through love, through the whole of love, through the whole gamut and range of the meaning of love. And it glorifies itself as love, as the whole of love, and for the purpose of love. See how we can already now somehow touch the treatment on that level of divine science. And we see that it is the infinite operation of the divine principle, which is love, which is within the rhythmic round of itself. And when I do this and ponder this as we have been doing, then somehow thought pushes further afield, the science itself, where it says, well then, there is only one thing going on, and that is the I, the one ego. And this one I or ego is the only thing that is ever at work, ever going on. And I touch science itself, that standpoint where principle and idea is one, and this one is God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent being, including within itself divine science, including within itself absolute Christian science, all the right ideas of this principle, including within itself Christian science, making itself manifest as harmony in spite of disharmony. And so we feel that science itself is really the integrated science of all sciences, that within the textbook is given the infinite science, which ranges from argumentation, from metaphysical treatment, further afield, really, to the plane of Christian science in meeting disease, on the plane of absolute Christian science, meeting such a suggestion of the essence of evil, that there could be something besides God. When that is met, it includes divine science, where we see that everything goes on in the rhythmic round of being, so that there is only one being at the end.